Let us pray. Father, Lord God, ask you, Lord God, bless the words of my lips. Bless the meditation of our hearts, Lord God, that all of these may be a profit to us and acceptable to you. You, our rock and our redeemer. In your name we pray. Amen. I ask that you please stand for the reading of Scripture. It comes from the book of 1 John chapter 4. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, so if we love one another, God abides in us and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love. And whoever abides in love and abides in God, and God abides in him. By this is love perfected with God, with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment. Because as he is also are, we are in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him: whoever loves God must also love his brother. The word of God for the people of God. You may be seated. I haven't done this in a while, but we're going to try this today. We're talking about living a life fearless, not being afraid, not being scared. We're talking about being afraid. You know, one thing most of us have done in here, you know, is get married. You know, marriage is scary, huh? You know, you got to live with that person the rest of your life. You know, it's scary. And then you have kids. Gosh, you know, add more scariness to it. And you know, if you think that's scary, try getting up here. Really scary. Today's message has been born out of, you know, what's happened, you know, the last couple of weeks. And I feel, at least for me, that today's message is just a little bit different, you know, than normal. I've had three different conversations with people over, you know, one last week. Well, one was an email. We started out talking specifically. They wanted to talk about one thing, and then it got on to something else. One was an elderly couple that they wanted to talk about end-of-life issues, you know, and we're talking about end-of-life issues, and during the conversation, the lady just blurts out, you know, that she's scared about, what's going on with the United States, Iran, and Israel, you know, and it's a possibility of World War III. You know, she's scared, you know, about, you know, for her grandchildren, you know, or what, you know, that's concern for. And then I had somebody I know that emailed me, you know, and kind of the same thing. You know, they're scared of what's going on with Iran, you know, United States, Israel, and just, you know, about our culture today, you know, where we are as a culture and society. And then the third one, I was talking, young lady, girl, you know, she's married, but she was talking about marriage issues, you know, And in the middle of the conversation, her too. You know, she starts talking about violence in the world, you know, Iran. So all three of these people, I don't think it was in, so much that was really affecting how they lived their everyday life, but it was, enough that it was on their hearts and minds, that they brought it up. And it may be, does it affect y'all? Y'all may be, as the old saying goes, calm, cool, and collected, and have it all together, or you may not. You know, these things may affect you too. I looked up this week, there was a university that's been conducting a poll, and I don't know, I don't know what the difference is, a poll and a survey. Well, somebody told me this morning, okay. A poll is usually just one question, A survey is a whole bunch of questions. Well, they called it a poll, okay. They said they've been doing this for 11 years, about fear. And the latest poll was released October of last year, and the head poll taker, said this: fear is taking a larger and larger role in American life. Americans are afraid of more things than ever before, and they are more afraid of those things than they've ever been before. You take people who live in fear, about things. Now, this is a survey of specifically church people. The one the university did, the poll, was church and unchurch, across the United States. This survey was just church people. And they asked the people these questions. And they asked them, okay, how do these things affect your life? Concerned, fearful, anxious. And the people, when they asked this question, 71% said they were concerned about the decline of sympathy or empathy for other people. Saying they were concerned that society as a whole, that we don't care about each other anymore. There's no empathy, no sympathy for each other. 71%. 65%, said they were concerned about the direction of our government policies. They didn't like the direction our government was going. 65% said they were concerned about political divisions and unrest in our country. Kind of the same thing. Then it drops way down. 37% said they were concerned about crime and violence. 30% concerned about economic recession. I don't know too many people concerned about that. 27% they were concerned about climate change, getting to the tree huggers. 25% said they were concerned about AI, artificial intelligence. I'm concerned there's no intelligence anywhere, artificial or not. It's just, like people have lost their minds. They don't think anymore. But almost twice the number of people said they were concerned about those top three things, and they all have to do, with, politics and government. But I think it's particularly tied to whoever is in the White House, whoever it is, whether it's the one there now, one before, it's whoever is in the White House, or what political party it is. I think, now last November, last year, the Gallup poll took a survey of Republicans, Democrats, and independents, and they asked the Republicans this question, what they thought about, how many of them, what they thought about Trump at the time. Okay, now this was last year. Said 84% of Republicans at the time approved of Trump, 84%. 25% of Democrats said they did, 3% of independents. Now that was November last year. I wonder if they would still get that same reaction today. And they said a lot of people, fear is tied to whoever is in the White House. We get so concerned, and caught up in who is there, and the way, the United States is going. Now, the New York Times, you know, and they're one of those, you know, they usually lean to the left, you know. And what I mean by that, you know, they're liberal. Now, they gave a poll of just Trump supporters, and asked what they thought about his first year in office, okay? Remember, okay, Trump was inaugurated January 25th last year. So he's been in office a little over a year. Now, they asked just Trump supporters, and they gave him amazing, hopeful, liberating, or an A+. What do y'all think? Okay, now Fox News, at the same time, asked random people, what they thought about Trump's first year. 59% said they did not approve. 40% said they did approve of his first year. You know, people disagree about politics. You know, the old saying, you know, never discuss politics at the dinner table. You know, somebody else this morning said, hey, don't talk about football either. You know, they both, you know, could end up, you know, in a big war, big battle. Some people, you just cannot have a civil conversation with them, you know, about politics. Anita Wing, you know, after church this morning, said, you know, she was visiting one of her kids up, you know, they lived in Washington, I think. You know, I said, all those, you know, that the kids that were at the house, there was about 15 of them, you know, I'm talking about kids 25 years old, said all of them are involved in government in some way, but said on both sides of the fence. But said he could sit and talk and discuss, you know, hey, why do you believe this? Why do you believe this? You know, but nobody yelling and screaming. You know, I said she was really amazed. You know, I said it's rare. And I'll say this about us here, okay? We're not United Methodist anymore. But one thing, we should be with every church, with every Methodist church, whether Baptist, Catholic, Presbyterian, all of us, every church should be united in what? Our faith in Father, Son, Spirit. Yeah, you know, we left the United because they had a different belief about something, but we should still care for our brothers and sisters in Christ, still care about them, and be able to sit and talk with them. Now, this is just personal opinion, okay? I have found that some of the people you cannot talk with are the people that disagree with you. You know, like that, you know, I've told y'all this story before, you know, when all the same-sex marriage thing was coming out, you know, six of us sitting at a table, three of us against it, three of them for it. You know, and one lady's asked me, why do you hate me? So where do you get I hate you from? So, well, you don't agree with me. Okay? Not agreeing with you does not equate to hate. You know, and I've said this before. You know, my wife and I, we disagree about things. She's always wrong. I'm always right. But we still love it. Ain't that right, Terry? You always right? Yeah. But we still love each other. You know, but gosh. 2022. Pew Research asked Republicans, what do you think about Democrats? What do you think about 69% said they said Democrats are closed-minded. 83% of Democrats asked said they said the same thing about Republicans. Republicans are closed-minded. Asked Republicans, what do you think about Democrats? Are they honest? 72% of Republicans said the Democrats are dishonest. 64% of Democrats said the same thing about Republicans. 72% of Republicans said Democrats are immoral. Can you believe that? An immoral Democrat? 63% of Democrats said the same thing about Republicans. Republicans are immoral. You know, so, you know, it goes back and forth. You know, nobody likes each other. You know, now, they say those numbers have just grown over the years of separation between parties has just grown. You know, it was a time when churches would bring everybody together. Democrats, Republicans, you know, whatever. That we could all come together and worship together. But I've seen some churches can't do that anymore. You know, that if they know you're one party, you know, one or the other, you know, they don't want you. You know, talking to Amanda, you know, Amanda and I, you know, have different views. You know, we get different things out of Scripture. You know, we talk about, you know, each other's message, you know, and tell, you know, reading her mind and say, Aaron, gosh, I could never preach that in Grayson. And I said, why? You know, they hate Trump. I said, you got to be kidding. You know, I said, yeah. You know, I said, I never pictured those people as being liberal. You know, and I don't know if she really knows, you know, but, you know, but, you know, I said, my gosh. You know, I said, really? I said, well, darling, you're getting the wrong message out of it. You know, you're looking at it one way, but it's, you need to preach it to them. Take it and preach it to them because they need to accept and care for the people that are those Trump supporters. You know, that no matter what, we need to be united in Christ, no matter what your political affiliation. Now, last week I gave you an acronym for FEAR. False events appearing real. Okay, remember that? Okay, I'm going to give you another one today. You know, and it's how to overcome fear. Okay, for the F, face your fears with faith. You know, we can face our fears or we can just take what comes. Or we can face our fears and remember. There's a God in heaven, a God here, that so loved the world that what? He gave his one and only son for you. He walks with you, he talks with you. And he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. That he's here with you today. And when you leave this building, he's going with you and he will be with you. Okay. E, examine your fears in the light of facts. Check it out. You know, if you're afraid of something, make sure it's real. You know, I don't know how many times I see people put stuff on Facebook and share it. It ain't real. You know, or something, you know, if somebody will share something and I look it up, yeah, it happened 20 years ago. You know, and then what you know, like it happened yesterday. You know, I said, you know, make, you know, look what you're doing. A, attack your anxiety with action. Do something. Don't just sit there in a hole and pull dirt in on top of you. You know, do something. Attack your anxiety with action. Make sure it's real. R, this is the most important one. Release your cares to God. Tell God, yeah, God, I'm afraid. I'm fearful, but God, I know you are here with me. I trust in you, God. I know you have me. I know you are watching out for me. You know, not long ago, the only thing on the news was about ICE, especially in Minneapolis. You know, that took up the news, you know, every day. People say, why? I said, well, you know, you got to know what's going on here. You know, Trump made a promise, you know, in his speeches that if elected, he would do something about illegal immigration. You know, and ICE is the answer to that. You know, so that's where they, you know, that's where it's coming from. You know, now, I asked the question, who are these people? You know, are they all ex-military or they're all, you know, ex-police officers that just left their job and doing, how much training did they have, you know, to do this? You know, you put somebody on that edge every day, you know, on the edge. Somebody, you know, think about this. Somebody in their face yelling and spitting at them, you know, throwing stuff at them. They're out there every day. Something's going to happen. You know, you can't help. It's human. Our humanity. You know, something's going to happen. You know, does something need to be done about immigration? Does something need to be done about our southern border? You have your opinion, I have mine. You know, I don't know if yours agrees with mine. Yeah, I think something needs to be done. You know, now, you may think something else. You know, we can agree, you know, to disagree. When they were putting a roof on here, I think all of them were Latino, Mexican, and you know, if you didn't see them, it was like maybe four guys, six guys at the most. They did this whole thing. Those guys worked. I mean, they worked. You know, none of them could speak English. You know, one of them. You know, and just talking to him, you know, yeah, you know, they were kind of fearful, you know, that, you know, somebody might show up and cart them away. You know, and I have to tell you this, they were putting a roof on the parsonage, and I thought they were done. And then one afternoon, it's like 6 o'clock, you know, I hear something on the roof, and I go out, and it's them on the roof. No idea they're coming. You know, I call, what are y'all doing? You know, and the guy comes down, you know, and said, what? You know, I said, what are you doing? So we had to do something. So, well, you know, you could have come knocked on the door and let me know. You know, and he said, I'm sorry. You know, and he started to leave. I said, no, you know, you don't have to leave. But, you know, next time, hey, just let somebody know you're coming, dude. You know, and you know, so, but, you know. But what about the shoe on the other foot? The ICE agents themselves, their families. You know, because I saw on the news, in some neighborhoods, once people found out that the mom or the dad was worked for ICE, the family started getting harassed. You know, attacked. You know, kids, mom, dad. You know, people started coming after, you know, what about them? What they go through with all this thing. You know, and peaceful protesters, really? Spitting on each other, throwing stuff. You know, I saw one interview, you know, they're asking, you know, this lady, you know, what are you protesting? I don't know. What do you mean you don't know? I'm just out here. Somebody told me to come, so I came. You know, peaceful protest, and they don't even know what they're protesting. Ephesians 4, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouth, but only what is good for building up as it fits the occasion, only what is good for building up, that it may give grace to those who hear. You know, do you see that in some of them? Not, you know, all good to give grace to those who hear. Yeah, it's okay to disagree with people, but not with emotions, not with hate. You know, as the Apostle Paul said, do not be overcome by evil, but what? Overcome evil with good. Overcome evil with good. Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount, you have heard it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. I say to you, love your enemy. Pray for those who persecute you, so you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and the good. Sends rain on the just and the unjust. Yeah, there's more than enough bad to go around. But we don't have to be part of it. We should be trying, you know, to overcome evil with good. Our passage today. No fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment. And whoever fears has been perfected, has not been perfected in love. You know, I don't watch the news anymore. I did this morning. First time I've turned it on in a long time. I usually just check it on my phone. You know, one thing I see, mostly is Iran. You know, can't do anything. You know, what can you and me, honestly, what can we do about Iran? Nothing, except what? Pray. Get on your knees and pray about it. There's nothing else we can do about it. You know, and the other thing I see that keeps popping up, Sharia law. Everybody knows what I'm talking about? Okay, anybody? You know, Muslim law. That, you know, a lot of communities now, they want that instituted as part of their law. You know, and we can agree to disagree again, but as far as I'm concerned, there's no place in the United States. You know, you may disagree, you know, that's okay. But people are scared of Iran, what could come out of it, World War III, if China enters in, you know, if other people start entering in. You know, before you're afraid of something, examine the facts. You know, and I know with what has gone on, Shreveport and Baton Rouge, you know, we see crime and violence. Oh, gosh, it's got to be out of control. You know, in those two places, it may be. Baton Rouge has always, or not always, but been rated one of the most dangerous towns in the United States for a while. 2014, this is across all the United States, the murder rate was 4.4 per 100,000 people. 2019 to 2020, during COVID, and I don't know why COVID had anything to do with it, it almost doubled. 8.2 per 100,000 people. But 2025, across the United States as a whole, it has fallen to what it was in 1950. So the murder rate overall in the United States, it's fallen. But when we see something like Shreveport and Baton Rouge, oh gosh, it's out of control. And it may be in those places. But overall, you know, the murder rate is falling. Now, the university asked a bunch of questions, and I want you to answer this question. So, you know, listen to it, and I want you to answer it. Not out loud, but I want you to answer it. Okay, they asked, do you strongly agree or strongly disagree with the following statement? The government is concealing the truth about what happened in the crash in South Dakota. What do you think? Strongly agree that the government's withholding everything, or disagree? You know? Huh? Well, I read that and I'm thinking, I don't know anything about a crash in South Dakota. What are they talking about, UFO? You know, what are they talking about? You know, it had a little asterisk by the question. So I looked down, you know, found what the asterisk meant. The asterisk was, it was a made-up question. There was no crash. But do you know, 43% of the people that they polled, they strongly agreed that the government is withholding something. Something that never happened. You know, they just had this fear of the government, you know, and what, you know, did not check anything. If you're afraid of something, one, give it to God and know he's walking with you. But check it out, people. You know, make sure whatever you're afraid of, you know, is real. You know, I found this quote this week. Fear is mastered through love. Hate is rooted in fear. And the only cure for fear, hate, is love. Envy, jealousy, a lack of self-confidence, a feeling of insecurity, and a haunting sense of inferiority are all rooted in fear. Is there a cure for these annoying fears that pervert our personal lives? Yes. A deep and abiding commitment to the way of love. And then the person said this. Perfect love casts out fear. Where have we heard that? 1 John. Perfect love casts out fear. Hatred and bitterness can never cure the disease of fear. Only love can do that. Only love, perfect love, casts out fear. To love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and know he loves you. That whatever happens, God has you. Amen. pray. Father, Lord God, we just give you thanks. Lord God, may we love you with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And Lord God, know each and every day with confidence, Lord God, with all the confidence, Lord God, that you have us. You are walking with us. You will never leave us nor forsake us, no matter what comes our way. And we thank you, Father, Son, Spirit, in your Son's name. Amen.